When there's a revolution in a country, the old flag and monuments are torn down and replaced by symbols of the new regime. There's a famous video of a gigantic Saddam Hussein statue being toppled during the war in Iraq, showing Iraqis celebrating and hitting it with their shoes once it fell to the ground, a sign of disrespect in their culture. And in the 21st century United States, countless monuments were toppled in a similar fashion as the attempted Marxist revolution began heating up. Since leftists hate America's history, culture, and customs, it only makes sense that they would focus that hatred on American monuments. But not just the old racist Confederate monuments, which have stood in the South for 150 years. They also want statues of the Founding Fathers torn down, and ultimately the American flag that flies on top of the U.S. Capitol building. During a discussion about numerous Confederate monuments being torn down across the South on CNN, one of their contributors, named Angela Rye, called for statues of George Washington to be torn down too because he owned slaves.
I don't care if it's a George Washington statue or a Thomas Jefferson statue or a Robert E. Lee statue. They all need to come down.
Race-baiting grifter extraordinaire Al Sharpton agrees, and so did the City Council of New York, which had a statue of Thomas Jefferson removed from City Hall, which had stood there for over 100 years. A few years before the height of the anti-Confederate monument hysteria, which succeeded in removing nearly 100 monuments across the South in the year 2020 alone, protesters in Atlanta vandalized a peace monument that was set up in 1911 to symbolize reconciliation between the North and the South after the Civil War, thinking it was a Confederate statue of some kind. A statue of Abraham Lincoln, who freed the slaves, was vandalized in Chicago with graffiti saying, "Colonizer," proving just how clueless these communists are. Mount Rushmore is also a frequent target of protesters who want it torn down as well. They always get worked up about it around the 4th of July. When Nasty Pelosi was Speaker of the House, she responded to the rash of vandalism and angry mobs toppling Confederate monuments in the wake of the George Floyd riots by saying this.
"The community doesn't want the statue there. The statue shouldn't be there. I don't care that much about statues.
Shouldn't that be done by a commission or the city council, not a mob in the middle of the night throwing it into the harbor?
People will do what they do."
Yeah, what the angry mobs did is no big deal. Interestingly, George Orwell foresaw this kind of cultural erasure in his novel 1984, writing, "One could not learn history from architecture any more than one could learn it from books. Statues, inscriptions, memorial stones, and the names of streets, anything that might throw light on the past, had been systematically altered." The left is engaged in a cultural genocide, not to be confused with an ethnic genocide, which is the deliberate killing of a large group of people from a particular nation or ethnic group with the purpose of eradicating it. Cultural genocide is defined as acts and measures undertaken to destroy nations or ethnic groups' culture through spiritual, national, and cultural destruction. This is done through destroying cultural artifacts like books, artwork, and monuments, and even buildings. Destruction of such artifacts is actually a violation of numerous international treaties, which aim to protect such objects even in times of war. And speaking of war, obviously we're in the midst of a cultural war, not to mention an attempted Marxist revolution being conducted with the full cooperation of the Democrat Party, which at this point should really just change their name to the Communist Party of North America. And with Independence Day just around the corner, the communists aren't going to be happy about us normal people celebrating freedom and the incredible republic that the founding fathers of this country established. Every year when the 4th of July comes around now, countless black people and self-hating, virtue-signaling whites cry about how blacks weren't free when the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776, so they can't be grateful for the freedoms they enjoy today as a result of living in this country. Their opposition to the holiday is like clockwork, and every year there are columns published in mainstream liberal outlets about how the 4th of July makes black people feel bad and lists their grievances about why they shouldn't celebrate it. The holiday causes disgruntled African Americans to blame the white man for their own personal failures because of what happened to ancestors of theirs whose names they don't even know. Many dream of one day getting reparations and think they're entitled to millions of dollars each. Marxist Democrat Congresswoman Cori Bush from Missouri says, "When they say the 4th of July is about American freedom, remember this, The freedom they're referring to is for white people. This land is stolen land, and black people still aren't free. Vox, a well-funded leftist news website, published an article titled "Three Reasons the American Revolution Was a Mistake," which argues that declaring independence from England was a monumental mistake, and we should be mourning the fact that we left the United Kingdom, not cheering it. It goes on to say that the United States should have remained a British colony because fewer Native Americans would have been oppressed and slavery would have been supposedly ended sooner. They even claim that our form of government would be better since Britain has a parliamentary system instead of our three-branch separation of powers system. Britain doesn't have a free speech amendment in their constitution, by the way, and instead has strict laws that criminalize supposed hate speech, which Democrats want to implement here. Of course, Vox couldn't conclude their screed without disdain for white people, saying the main benefit of the revolution to colonists was that it gave more political power to America's white male majority. It's always the white man's fault. On the eve of Independence Day a few years ago, the Washington Post declared, "It's time to reconsider the global legacy of July 4th, 1776, and denounced American independence, saying it helped further colonialism and white supremacy. The article goes on to lament how, after freeing ourselves from the British Empire, we went on to build an empire of our own, acquiring Hawaii, Puerto Rico, the Philippines, and Guam, and complained that America reinforced that black and indigenous lives don't matter. The Associated Press published a story on Independence Day last year about how the word patriot is now often seen as a negative word because today the word and its variants have morphed beyond the original meaning. It has become infused in political rhetoric and school curriculums with varying definitions while being appropriated by white nationalist groups. Ben and Jerry's, the overpriced super premium ice cream, tweeted, "This 4th of July, it's high time we recognize that the U.S. exists on stolen indigenous land and commit to returning it," and linked to a petition demanding South Dakota give the land where Mount Rushmore stands back to the Sioux Indian tribes as part of the land back movement, which demands that traditional territories of Native American tribes be given back to them. But it turns out that the Ben and Jerry's factory in South Burlington, Vermont, sits on land that used to belong to a Native American tribe as well, until British colonists arrived in North America and then forced them out. They probably didn't even know that and surely don't care, because if they meant what they said about supporting the land back movement, they would turn the deed to their property over to the tribe. It's not just disgruntled black people, the black Democrats. Conservative blacks love America and don't carry a chip on their shoulder, but most of the tens of millions of criminal invaders who have breached our southern border from Mexico and Central America have no desire to become Americans and don't care about our history, our heroes, our culture, or our laws. As Pat Buchanan, the great paleoconservative, a real conservative, warned over 20 years ago in his book, The End of the West, uncontrolled immigration threatens to deconstruct the nation we grew up in and convert America into a conglomeration of peoples with almost nothing in common. No history, heroes, language, culture, faith, or ancestors. He went on to say, millions have no desire to learn English or become citizens. America is not their home. Mexico is. And they wish to remain proud Mexicans. They have come here to work rather than assimilate. They create little Tijuanas in U.S. cities, just as Cubans have created little Havana in Miami, with their own radio and TV stations, newspapers, films, magazines. The Mexican Americans are creating a Hispanic culture separate and apart from America's larger culture. They are becoming a nation within a nation. He wrote that in 2002, when many of them did come here to work, but now most are just coming because they see America as a utopia where they can live for free and have the government pay for their housing, healthcare, their childcare, their cell phones, and even get prepaid debit cards to buy whatever they want. Not to mention the countless Muslim immigrants who we've allowed in over the years, many of which, instead of assimilating and appreciating American culture, are openly hostile to us, and sound like they would be much happier living in Iran or Palestine or any other Islamic caliphate. Not all Muslims, of course, but these days, many of them are now chanting slogans in the streets of America that were once only heard by angry crowds in Iran. The American flag obviously symbolizes our great nation, or at least what a great nation we used to be. And since the Marxists hate everything about the United States, from our founding fathers to the Bill of Rights and every aspect of our culture, it should come as no surprise that the very sight of Old Glory sends them into a hissy fit as well. A survey conducted in 2018 by the nonprofit Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness found that 1 out of 5 millennials see the American flag as a sign of intolerance and hatred. In 2015, nearly a decade ago, when the liberal pandemic was just getting started, I posted a YouTube video showing me asking random people walking along the boardwalk by the beach in Southern California if they would sign a petition to ban the American flag and issue a new flag featuring rainbow stripes for diversity, and many people gladly supported the cause. While it was slightly funny at the time, it was an early indicator of the declining patriotism in America and the growing hostility from within. Nike canceled the rollout of a limited edition shoe that was scheduled to be released in 2019 to commemorate Independence Day because it featured the Betsy Ross flag, a flag that represents the original 13 colonies. The cancellation came after complaints by Colin Kaepernick, who had become the face of Nike, landing a multi-million-dollar contract with them the previous year. In the past, athletes like Michael Jordan and Andre Agassi were the face of the sneaker giant, and they never engaged in divisive political rhetoric or got involved in political causes. Instead, they strictly stuck to sports, knowing it would be bad for business to ostracize half of their fans by publicly aligning with either political party or anything having to do with politics at all. But today, promoting liberal causes is put before profits, and most of corporate America is now in a competition with each other over who can best use their resources to promote social justice. Years ago now, a group of students at a California high school were sent home after they came to class on Cinco de Mayo, the Mexican holiday, meaning May 5th, wearing shirts with the American flag on them. The school considered their shirts to be cultural disrespect and forbid the students from wearing them. They sued the school for violating their First Amendment rights, but the Ninth Circuit Court ruled against the students. Their lawyers wanted to take the case to the Supreme Court, but in 2015, when it was still dominated by liberals, they rejected even hearing the case, which means that the lower court's ruling stood, allowing a public school to ban shirts that feature the American flag because it offended Mexican students. Comedian Sarah Silverman, best known for being Jimmy Kimmel's ex-girlfriend from many years ago, said in her now-defunct Hulu show that the American flag makes her feel scared, and she was shaking.
I had a boyfriend many years ago. He was my first boyfriend who had his own house. And one day I went outside to see what he was doing, and he was hoisting an American flag up the flagpole in his front yard. And I instantly felt very weird. It didn't make sense, but I felt this feeling of I felt scared. Yeah, I felt scared. Nationalism is innately terrifying for Jews. Think about it. Flags, marching, blind allegiance, these things tend to ring a bell for us.
And so Americans saying we're number one and posting an American flag outside their home is too nationalistic for her and reminds her of racism and xenophobia. MSNBC contributor and New York Times board member Mara Gay says she thinks it's disturbing that so many Donald Trump supporters fly the American flag because it sends the message that this is our country.
I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, yep. Trump yep. flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your yep. country. I own this.
And now every year around the 4th of July, numerous TikTok videos go viral of black people complaining about seeing the American flags everywhere and insisting that anyone who flies one outside of their house must be a racist.
I'm at the point with this country that, like, all this 4th of July decorations doesn't sit well with me, because we're at a point where the American flag on any piece of anything hanging from your house, on your shirt, hanging from your f***ing car, on a sticker on your car, whatever, it looks racist. Like, the fact that it was the symbol of, like, the protests against masks, and it was the symbol for All Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter, it's like, it screams racist to me, it screams colonizer, it screams, I don't season my food, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't want to celebrate 4th of July anymore. 4th of July is officially canceled. I'm tired of seeing the f***ing 13 colonies flags everywhere in California when we're not a f***ing 13th colony. Also, 4th of July is overrated, fireworks, and thanks for coming to my TikTok.
A flag outside of somebody's house, I just automatically assume you racist.
Almost definitely, but we felt that way for years. Like, I'm 51, and even as a kid we knew. It was understood. If there was an American flag at their house, they some racist white mother. That's just what it was. I thought everybody thought that or knew that. It's funny to see that they're saying it now and it's like it's kind of new, but no. Yeah, been thinking about that. Thought that forever.
There's a story that's told about the Constitutional Convention in 1787 about when the men were leaving and Benjamin Franklin was asked what kind of government the delegates had created. And he responded, a republic if you can keep it. Meaning he knew that a healthy government that reflected the will of the people would require citizens of good moral character to actively work to maintain it. But as we're all well aware, there has been a well-funded and organized effort to destroy it. So this Independence Day, just remember, Plato, the Greek philosopher from 350 BC, noted that one of the penalties for refusing to participate in politics is that you end up being governed by your inferiors. And while on a national level, the liberal pandemic has caused irreversible damage to our once great republic, we could still slow it down and to a certain extent reverse some of the damage by not just taking back the White House in November, but also taking back the Senate and increasing our razor-thin majority in the House. And we could have even greater success on a local level. People often overlook the importance and the power of taking over school boards, city councils, state legislatures, and the governor's office. So even though the election is 4 months away, it's almost time to get your voter guides ready and start planning our peaceful and patriotic reclaiming and restoration of America. And if you like my more serious monologues like this, then you'll love reading my books, so order The War on Conservatives in paperback from Amazon.com or download the ebook from iBooks, Kindle, Nook, or Google Play. My books are a lot more in-depth and serious than my videos, which I have to tone down a little bit for obvious reasons. So if you want my complete uncensored analysis, along with nearly 1,000 footnotes, sourcing all the material, which makes not just a very informative read for those who keep up with the news on a regular basis, but also a valuable resource to help others and help them wake up, then head on over to Amazon.com or click the link in the description below and check them out.